we need to remember as moms is that they don't really care a lot about having an activity for every second of the day. It's about purely your presence. And if we're exhausted and just throwing things at them to do, that's what they're going to remember, not all the times that we spent.
Welcome to Awaken Greatness, the essential podcast for dreamers, action takers, people who want to reach your full potential, and business owners that want their company to reach the next level. Each episode is a treasure trove of resources and tools that will explore the latest trends, actionable strategies, and the mindset shifts necessary to turn your dreams and aspirations into reality. Brought to you by the Dream Leaders Institute and hosted by Dr. Cliff Fisher. Tune in, turn up your dreams, and let's awaken the greatness within you.
All right, tribe. Welcome to Awaken Greatness with Cliff Fisher and Morgan Tucker and my wife, Joy Froggett. And so I'm super excited for today. We're brought to you by Dream Leader Institute, where we awaken your greatness, give you the tools to find and create your greatest self, and raise the consciousness of the planet. And so last time we kind of left off with mom guilt, and we heard from Morgan, where Morgan's like this powerful CEO, mom of five, kind of doing it all. And there's spaces in that. And then I just felt like there was this whole missing component with Jory's perspective, really coming from that space of being the mom, holding the house together, keeping everything, you know, running smoothly, while, you know, and Morgan brought it up at the very beginning of this, as far as like, how do you do that and do self-care? So I think we just wanted to expand this conversation because we felt it was really important. So Morgan, I know we were on the last conversation, so I'll check in with you on this first.
Yeah, I think that it's such a real topic that needs to be covered from both perspectives. And I know we've got also a lot of male CEOs and business owners that listen and tune in to what we have to say. And the majority of them have spouses at home. And so this is just as relevant for them in that space as well. So, you know, I was really curious to hear from Jory's perspective about what's it like to be an entrepreneurial spouse? Because I know the sacrifices that I've made and I've made for my family. And those are conscious choices that I make, but I've never been the reciprocant on the other end, that I didn't have a whole lot of, where yes, I had an opinion or give an opinion, but ultimately I'm not the ultimate decision maker. And I would love to hear that from her perspective.
Awesome. All right, Jory, what do you got?
Okay. So we were just talking a little bit about my kids are almost grown, one more to graduate here soon. So yeah. I'm definitely in a different space in my life now that the kids are older. But of course I can think about when they were younger, just how busy it is, busy life is, when the kids are young. And I think one of my core spaces of just who I am is what I learned when the kids were young, just to keep the simplicity was really important to me, because I feel like you can easily get your life and your schedule really hectic. So then you don't have any of that downtime and you're just going, 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 which I see so many of these moms doing. So that was really important to me, to have that space, the simplicity in our life. And, you know, it was, you know, it's, I was talking to Cliff earlier about, you know, one of the things about being a stay-at-home mom was I just felt like a guilt from outside about like, oh, I should be working, just not being at home. Like that's just not enough. Or I feel like a lot of times there's more, you know, importance put on like people that are contributing to the, you know, outside in the world versus like, mm-hmm. what are we doing at home? It doesn't seem like it's as valued. So
did you feel a lot of pressure to keep budgets tight and, you know, which also limits your ability to do things, or what I assume is what, you know, we'll go spend money to entertain the kids in some way? Did you find yourself trying to discover, did you feel more pressure to find ways to entertain, or even for self-care, Yeah. Did you feel limited in those spaces?
I mean, I didn't feel limited. I think it's just I had to be real, like in terms of budget wise, like with one income, you know, at the time, it's like there wasn't a ton of money to do like a lot of activities. And, you know, we had enough to do some activities with the kids, but it's like I just kept it simple, like being able to play outside with the kids, being, you know, doing play dates. My self-care was just like some meditation, some yoga at the house. So I wasn't doing a lot of things outside, even in that regard, and trying to get together with other moms that I connected with to be able to like have somebody, you know, a person to talk to, a mom that was in the same space was really important. I think there's such value there.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think one of the spaces that is different for me is I don't have a lot of mom friends that, and if I do, they're entrepreneurial mom friends.
Yeah.
And so finding time in our calendar to even get together can be a real struggle. I mean, it's a challenge. And to know that you're not alone in a space like that is truly freeing. I often wondered, and I mean, for me, even just thinking about being a stay-at-home mom, it gave me some anxiety, you know, just to even think about that as, you know, because I've always been the entrepreneur. And it's like, okay, well, what would we do for this? And I mean, how could I entertain the kids? And how, like, that's just not natural for me.
Yeah.
I was listening to a really great podcast with Adam Grant and Robin Arzon, the lead instructor of Peloton. I don't know if y'all know anything about her. Are they? Mm-mm. She's fascinating. So just a shout out. If she's hearing, I'm just a super fan. she mentioned in her podcast that she's like, I've got this kid and I'm not meant to wear a red nose and entertain this kid all day. She'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so true. You know, we don't have to spend every waking moment trying to figure out how to entertain our kids, which, you know, brings up in a different space from an entrepreneurial mom. Like, I'm not spending all day with my kids. And so I do feel that mom guilt to entertain them when I'm at home. And so, you know, I don't know if you share her or have shared her philosophy or not, but I just,
yeah, I definitely do. Cause when the kids, the famous line, when the kids would come to me, like, I'm bored. I'm like, I'd suggest a couple of things. They're like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, that's okay. Be bored. Cause like out of boredom, you can create something amazing. Like, we don't need to be filled up with, you know, think about, you know, at least when I was, you know, I don't know how old you are, but it's like when we grew up, we didn't have all the activities. We didn't have all the things. Like, we did have to go find our own fun and be bored. A lot of times there was boredom, which that was okay too, you know?
I was thinking about how that connected with your simplicity core value as a thing, and how well that kind of meshed together. And it's like, really, you were really kind of so ahead of the time, you know, saying, hey, I am going to keep it simple. And
there's we're just behind the times, what they used to do years ago.
That was the way. I mean, it still fits. Like, it is what I think we need to remember as moms is that they don't really care a lot about having an activity for every second of the day. It's about purely your presence. And if we're exhausted and just throwing things at them to do, that's what they're going to remember, not the all the times that we spent. And so, you know, I would, like, what were some of your funnest memories or that you created with your kids, and what did they remember?
I mean, a lot of it really was just, and I think you're right with the, it's interesting you have that same thing about like feeling alone, because I did have that too. Like, because you do have like stay-at-home moms, but the stay-at-home moms are very busy. I do put my kids in preschool. A lot of people do. So I was trying to find, you know, playmates for my kids at the time. And that was definitely felt lonely. I was thankfully, when we moved to this new area, I was able to find another stay-at-home mom. So I connected with her. But before that, I felt so isolated and like, where are the, you know, moms, where are the kids playing out, you know, outside?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was definitely a big part of it, but sorry.
Well, I know that can take a huge toll on your mental health as well. Like, and that's just always being on where, you know, I can leave my office and I can leave the, you know, the 120 kids that I have at work and come back to my five. But I mean, there, and then we're a blended family, so we don't have the five all the time, but it's truly mentally exhausting a lot of times. And so, you know, what taking care of your mental health in that, like, what did that look like for you? I know you said you did meditation, yoga, which are amazing.
And I mean, sometimes it meant just like 10 minutes of like putting my legs up the wall. Like one of my favorite yoga poses is like putting up my legs up the wall on this blanket. And I would just lay there for 10 minutes and just rest. And sometimes, crazy enough, I'd fall asleep with my legs up the wall. But it just like, it just rejuvenated me. So finding those little pieces of time, because I didn't have an hour to sit and do yoga class. Like, it was, life is busy when the kids are little. And so, I mean, when you asked earlier, like some of the fun times was really just seeing my kids like have fun. Like, I always told them, go outside. We have a neighbor, you know, a house, which we have some land that they can go outside and play. Like, that was really important to me just for their health. Just get outside, you know, they'd hike around the, like, we have a little small woods area. You know, I try to connect with whatever kids could come over and play, even for just like an hour after school, because I think that's so important, like get off the screens. But it's an easy thing for a lot of parents. Like, I get why it's just easy. Like, oh, just turn the screen on. But it's like, for the long term, it's not a healthy thing to do. You know, here and there, I get it. You know, sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah.
But so just like, just seeing them be a kid, honestly, just not the technology, keeping that away from them as long as possible, to see them have fun with their friends, go outside, kick a ball, like, you know, doesn't have to be organized activity, you know, coming up with games, you know, playing, you know, making forts, all these little clips all throughout the day. So.
Boy, that's such a great space, because we do. And I think there's a lot of guilt that goes into screen time as well, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this was the thing that Cliff and I established in our last one, is it doesn't matter from what angle, what perspective, there's going to be some kind of guilt associated with absolutely everything that we're doing.
And honestly, it's like just doing the best you can. And like, there's no perfect parent out there. And we're all, I feel like, if you're loving, you're kind, like those simple things of being present, being loving and kind to your kids are such a huge thing that gets overlooked, like the simplicity part. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you have those core things and you're teaching your kid that loving kindness space, you know? And so, yeah, like there's things that I know I didn't do or I messed up. I'm like, you know, that's life, right? Just, and then you're doing better each year. It's like, okay, I've learned from this. My kids have taught me so much. That's the other thing.
Yeah. And I think the interesting space that we've have is the social media space. And it's where we're constantly being bombarded with TikTok and Instagram of people's like perfect shining moment. And we just feed off of that, which also feeds some self-loathing for us that, hey, we're not doing a great job. And that's such a lie on so many fronts. And the reason, you know, just say, hey, stay off of social media.
Right. Or just know that like, that's not real. And that's not, you know, and you're just doing the best you can. And it doesn't have to live up to all these things. Like, you know what's in your world. And so just to focus on that, like, it was interesting when I was, you know, a young mom, I feel like there was, and maybe there still is, like, oh, it was like the working mom versus the stay-at-home mom, a bit of like, oh, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. Or you shouldn't do that. I'm like, at the end of the day, whatever makes the mom the best version of themselves, whether it's working outside the home or being in the home, like, that's the best thing for them. Like, nobody should judge that.
No, we talked about that a lot in the last podcast.
I need to get in here at some point. I'm like,
you have something to say?
No, I feel like I'm like, I should be over here on off the screen.
Sorry, we're just diving right in. We're connecting.
Yeah, no, I just want to circle back. Like, I don't want to get in the way of this whole conversation, but I just want to, a couple of things that we really did that I think helped a lot is we did turn our Wi-Fi off at a certain time when the kids were younger. We didn't do cell phones until they were 15 or 16. And we had this thing called Disney Circle, but it limited the amount of time that they would get. So they would have 2 hours of Wi-Fi time. And so
whatever. Might have been just
TV,
an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been shifted depending on the age. Mm-hmm.
And the weekend or weekday.
Yeah.
So one of these things that, you know, because I hear a lot of that time, I'm thinking all of that, but I also know, like, for me, and part of one of the things that we do with our kids that is super impactful, we have a 3-year-old who right now we're transitioning, and he, one of the big things that he loves to do, especially when he transitions from one house to another, is he loves to have, we do a bag of popcorn and we sit and he cuddles with me and we watch a 30-minute episode. And it helps regulate him to a point. And I know when we skip that for him specifically, we are not in for a good next day. And so I think, you know, letting them be alone with screens and stuff, I 110% agree, is not always the greatest time. But if it's something that is an activity you can do together as a family that bonds, there's some space for that.
I'm definitely not saying no time or anything like that. But I think one of the things is we look at like, oh, we don't have any family time. Well, everybody's on the TV all the time. That's a different conversation than a 30-minute cuddle or a one movie cuddle. Like you look at people's weekends and they're either watching sports or they're, you know, they're spending 4 to 6 hours watching games or all day. Like, I think more in that space. And then with kids, they just go into their rooms now, because like one of the things we both said was like, we don't want TVs in the kids' rooms, but now like an iPad is a TV.
And they're like, well,
or their phone.
It is. Or it is for sure. And that's the difference between, you know, and I have a 12-year-old that'll be 13 this year. And so we're going through this dynamic as well. Like, all her friends had phones. They all, you know, and have had phones since they were 10. And I'm like, no. I did finally this for Christmas, I did break down and get her a phone. And one, it was more for when she's with her dad, and for us to communicate. And they allow certain cell phone time at school. And so that was also another way that we could communicate as well, for pickups and where we needed to go and shifts and things like that. So that was the main reason. But you're right. It's become, I had to do a lot of limiting. Hey, we're not going to be glued to our phone every, you know, 5 seconds. And it's such it's an easy thing to do for them, and especially when it's not regulated. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things we really enjoyed was like, we didn't have phones in the car usually, unless it was a long trip. Mm-hmm. Cause I think honestly, car time as a mom or a dad, like, is some of the most special time you'll get, because it's literally focused time. That's not like you're not staring at them, but you guys are together. And I think there's just something about that time that's really powerful. And I felt like we learned a lot from our kids and about our kids and their lives in that time.
But definitely got pushback on the Wi-Fi, the phone. I'm like, hold the line. And now the kids are, my oldest, you know, our oldest is 21, and then youngest is 17. And like the 20-year-old, like, oh, she really appreciates it now. But at the time, she had such pushback.
There were some family meetings on that.
Many family meetings.
So
I don't really like meetings.
Yeah.
That's funny. I mean, it's not funny, but I see that now in my future and so many lights. I'm like, I'm getting a window into my future.
You just have to know the long game, not the like, yes, just give them that thing. And I know you have to figure it out long as you go, like things change. And if you need to do whatever you need to do for your family, but it's like, you got to think of that long-term, what do you want to, you know, have?
Yes.
Like, okay, yes. I'm just getting worn down with 5 kids. So you might get worn down.
I can't say that after a day of work and then coming home and doing that, you know. And so I also recently have just found some more spaces to figure out how to make mom life a little easier for me. And so where, like, right before we came on here, I was meal prepping for the whole week.
Oh, really?
You know, just... Yeah, my husband is actually running. He has a race this weekend. He's just recently gotten into racing, so this will be his second one. But just doing a lot of meal prep, you know, I was doing it for him, and then I realized this is so so convenient. Yeah. All I gotta do is heat something up during the week because it's so crazy. And so it's been a really good space for you. And I know that I tend to not eat more junk when we're tired and hungry. And I'm just like, oh, let's just go get a pizza. I've worked all day. Where we've come home and I've already have prepared vegetables. I have prepared meats and things like that. And it's just a much simpler thing. So what was it? I guess what space was it for you in when it came to it seems like that's the age-old question of what's for dinner.
Yeah.
Every night.
I know.
It's like, how did you do that?
I mean, that I brought the simplicity into that too, but it is time consuming. If you make healthy meals for your family, like the amount of time I spend in the kitchen, like making and cleaning up is a lot, but just the simplicity, especially when they're young, I'm like, just, you know, I do vegetables and either protein or carb. I wouldn't do like these elaborate, maybe on the weekend do a little more complexy, but just keeping it simple. The joke is like my soup is my favorite dish.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
like easy cleanup and it's healthy and it's all in one pot. But my oldest is like, no, not soup again. It's easy. And but, it's healthy.
But now from college she's asking for the soup.
Yeah. That's good for soup. That's so funny. Well, she's about to be 10. She'll be 10 next week. She came. I had fixed dinner, and we usually get them during the week kind of late because her mom and stepdad are night nurses. And so we kind of get them for overnight stays during the week, and then we take them to school. And I had fixed dinner, and she came and she goes, oh, not chicken tacos again. And it was like, girl.
Yeah.
Here's some cereal. No, I was just kidding.
Yeah, seriously.
And I'm just like, I had to take several deep cleansing breaths.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. That's really good that you're doing that.
And I'm like, what did you say? You know, and so our dad just was like, oh, because he was like, you know, and just as we circled, you know, took a deep breath, circled back around, she's like, I feel like we eat the same things all the time. And I said, well, why don't you give me a list of things that you would like to eat? So how about she gives me the same list of things that I've been fixing?
Did she really?
She eats at her mom's house. And I'm like, okay.
It could be like some cultures, you know, like was this in South America, you know, like beans and rice. We could just do beans and rice every day.
Yeah.
You know, you think they're not doing, you know, enough variety. Some cultures eat the same things. Like day in, day out.
I know. So. I know. It's so, I'm just like, girl, I don't think you understand how good we have it, that we have variety and we have change. We could be eating, you know, the same things all the time. So
that was one thing I think, you know, big lesson I had to learn with, you know, with the kids is like to not take things personally. Cause it's like, yeah, they say things or do things like hurt my feelings. And it's like, I mean, some of it obviously be like that. Some of that is like not okay. But sometimes I'm like, you can have your opinion. You cannot like this, but I'm like, this is what's for dinner, you know, unless you want to come and make the next meal, you know.
Exactly. Hey, would you like to help?
Yeah.
For sure. And then I think you just really struck a topic of the things that our kids say trigger us unlike anything else. And I think honestly, it's because it's like looking in a mirror. And we, you know, they're a reflection of us. And when they say things that are hurtful, you know, it really can be a lot more triggering than if it had come from somebody else. And so I think that's just, I guess, talk me through that in the teen years for you. Like how did you keep sanity and thrive during that time of not taking things personal?
I mean, probably like my oldest was my biggest teacher in that way, because we would just butt heads and I would just, so instead of sitting there and just like, I would just push, I would be like, kind of react back to her. Like, this is what's for dinner. Like whatever the thing was, like a lot of it is around food. Or the Wi-Fi. Those are like the triggers. It was like for her. And I was like, no, you know, and I would just kind of react to it versus like, you know, just acknowledging her space, letting her vent if that's what she needs. Not in a mean way at me, but it's like, if she wants to vent and complain, like, okay, but I'm still making this food, you know, we're not going to switch from this, you know, just being able to hold in your space. But I know one of the things I learned with my oldest was, how old was she? 15. But it's like, I think with my oldest, I didn't always have the connection time, like a little bit of the fun and play and connection. And it was like more like the mom, like, okay, you need to do this. Okay, do this. You know, like you become that because you're busy. And so
She was busy. Like she was like in school, like she would leave at 7 something, get home at 4 or 5, have dinner, then have to study till like 10 or 12. So it wasn't like you were, you know, like you would have time available.
So then I think one of the things I learned with Cliff and he shared with me was like, I started making those connections times with her, and it could be like even just connecting on a, not on a, like I'm still the mom obviously, but like, you know, more on like what she's interested in, like just to kind of slow down or like go, like us go have lunch together, just the two of us, like more that one-on-one time versus the family. Family's so importantly, but having that one-on-one time. And that was a game changer with our relationship. Not that she didn't ever push back, but it's like, it just made a window that like, we have two different relationships. Like we can have that enjoyment and fun together. And I'm also going to have to lay these laws, like these rules down and just, you know, and really looking at myself, like, why am I so triggered, you know, and don't, to not let her, let me react. Like that's, I'm the parent. I should not be reacting to her. I can just like, okay, I understand your perspective, but I'm not changing. Like, I still feel like it's important that I do this, and this is healthy food, and this is what I'm serving. If you don't want to eat it, that's fine. But it's like, this is what I'm serving.
Right. And I guess for me, I heard somebody say it really helped me change some mental perspective a little bit about that is when my 16-month-old is throwing a tantrum or my 3-year-old is, you know, being defiant in some way, it's okay, what lesson have I not taught, you know, and giving them the space and freedom to where, okay, they have something that they're trying to express. More times than not, it is an outside environmental thing. We haven't had a nap. We're hungry, you know.
Yeah.
And so I can kind of mentally go down the list, but it's for teens, it's definitely a lot harder. And so I have found that it has been true. And we definitely, because we have three, you know, we've got two olders, we've got the 12 and 13, and then we've got a 5, 3, and 16 month old. There's just like this great divide. And you're so right about saying you need to do this, you need to do this. It's almost like the older ones, I started relying on them to help with the smaller ones and remembering that they're not parents.
Yeah.
And that they value just as much being a kid as the younger ones do. And so I actually did start with my daughter. We connected over Harry Potter. She's a big Harry Potter fan, and I was too when I was younger. So I'm 38 for reference. I just turned 38, and so she got this new video game, and we literally sat there, and I let her play, and I watched her, and she just walked me through all the steps, and it was just a great bonding time. It's something that she loves. She's also autistic, so we have things that we try to do and keep her also kind of regulated in a certain space. And finding, you know, it's kind of like when especially when they're in that space, it's, they want to talk about what they like, what they want to do, and what they, you know, and it's really, it is sometimes a challenge to get them to branch out outside of what is familiar or liked by them. And she's done a really great job transitioning, especially when we have little kids. But getting that one-on-one time with her, I've actually found that it's easier for her to do chores and for me to get her to do chores.
Yeah.
Help with things when I say, hey, let's go do this and then we'll go do our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, she loves it. And so it's the same thing with the 10-year-old. My husband is going to take her on a daddy-daughter date. This Thursday. So it's kind of like, that's something he has special planned for her. And, you know, cause it is hard, especially, you know, y'all have four, we have five, like when you've got multiples, spending individual time with everybody.
Yeah, definitely. We're just talking about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one book.
Yeah. No, it's really important that one-on-one time. And I think one thing, Morgan, that you said, it was super interesting. And I think a lot of women, and I think a lot of moms do this, is when you said the baby's having a tantrum, you said, well, what haven't I not done versus what does that child need? Like, so often I think mom's like, oh, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Versus, and I think we take it personally versus like they're going through their stuff. And like Jory mentioned it, you know what I mean? So just asking the child versus like, it's not a lack in you. It's not a lack in all these moms. It's not a lack in all these women. I think Teach Our Girls to Be Brave, Not Perfect really does a great job on that TED talk as far as like girls just want to do everything perfect. And I feel then moms exponentially go to the next level with that because they truly know what's at stake, right? The next generation and the generation and the generation. Like, so it's not like this little task.
Yeah, without a doubt. And there's so much pressure, again, whether it's outside or even just the internal pressure, or even if you had a wonderful example in a mom or a mother-in-law, it's always looking, you know, there's always these certain dynamic. It feels like the weight of the world. And it feels like if I don't get this right, my kids are going to be screwed up for life. And that's such a lie that we tell ourselves, that everything that we do is we give ourselves way too much credit for those types of things.
I mean, like at the end of the day, loving your kids, like that is like unconditionally loving your kids. And yes, we're not always doing things maybe perfect, or and maybe we think later, oh, I could have done this different, but it's like you love your kids and they feel that, and that's what's going to stay with them, you know?
Thank you, dreamers, action takers, people in business owners reaching your potential, for joining us on this journey to awaken greatness. We hope today's episode has sparked new ideas, ignited your passion, and brought you a step closer to realizing your dreams, If you're inspired to take action and eager to learn more, visit the Dream Leader Institute's website, dreamleaderinstitute.com. There you'll discover a wealth of resources and tools tailored to help you and your business reach its potential. Already making strides and looking for additional guidance? Dr. Cliff Fisher and our team at Dream Leader Institute are ready to assist you in navigating the path to success. Stay connected with us for more insights and strategies. And remember, your greatness is waiting to be unleashed. Let's continue to dream audaciously, take action boldly, and transform dreams into reality. Until next time, awaken your greatness.